All right, live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio. We're back again, another episode, another week on WVOF 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. Another week of Stags basketball. Jack, how are we feeling?
Feeling great. First win under the belt. You know, 1-2 doesn't look too bad. It looks a lot better than 0-3.
It looks, compared to last year, right? 0-6 start, something like that. This week on Red Sea Radio, we're going to be talking about the Boston College game, Medgar Evers game, and then a look ahead to the declared war against Sacred Heart University basketball. So, starting off, Boston College, Sunday, we watched this game, had some trouble with the stream, but for the most part, we watched the whole game. What are your initial kind of takes on this one?
So, Boston College and Providence are both 8-point losses, but it seems like, I don't know, it seemed like Boston College was like a long 8 points, while Providence was like a close 8 points.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. The Providence game was like very inspiring, right? People felt really good about this one, but the Boston College game didn't feel like they played as well as they could have.
Well, Providence game, they were trading leads, or like keeping it to like one, like cutting it to one, then cutting it to three, like over and over again. Well, this game, it was more like Fayetteville was cutting it to seven, then they were cutting it to 10.
Yeah, they never could get those baskets that would have really put them within striking distance. And it was disappointing because I feel like they changed up their game plan on this one, right? For the Providence one, they were more about
shooting,
and on this one it was more about the inside game, and I don't know.
They were, I guess, somewhat successful with Cook. I mean, Cook had a really good day, so I mean, I guess it kind of worked, but like the offense still wasn't that good. A lot of it was like relying on Taj to make kind of like crazy shots.
Yeah, and we'll take a look at the stats. We'll get into everything in a bit. It's just the overall general thing is, and like people have said this too, is that if you told us that we would have lost by, 8 points to these teams, 7 to Providence, at the beginning of the season, we would have felt great. But after actually watching the game against BC, didn't feel so great because I honestly think we could have beat them.
Yeah, and I mean, another game where like a bad end to the first half kind of created that gap that they could never really overcome.
Yeah.
Like, that happened in the Providence game, too, where they were tied, I think, and it ended up down 19 minutes or 1 minute into the second half.
Yeah, so let's get into these stats. We'll run through these kind of quick because we have the second game to talk about. Fairfield, they shot 39% from the field, 38% from three, 82% from the line. They lost the rebound contest by almost 10 rebounds. Assists were pretty even. Fairfield had 11, 7 steals from Fairfield, 1 block, 14 turnovers, 21 fouls, largest lead, 0. Never took the lead in the game. So numbers-wise, turnovers were, lower than the first game, but still 14 is not really where we want to be at if you're going to compete against the Boston College. And there's still some of those turnovers that are like, shot clock expiring, turnovers that simply just
screens.
Yeah, stuff that just you're beating yourself at that point. So, that's a little bit disappointing. And then on Boston College side of things, pretty much like Providence, they shot very, very well, 50% from the field, 66% from three, although they only took 9 of them. And then 59% from the line, which we had talked about on our show last week was going to be their biggest Achilles heel, is their free throw shooting, right? And we saw it at the end. They kept us in the game with their
missed
free throws.
I mean, the only reason it was 8 is because they started fouling like 2 minutes left.
And they were missing.
It was working, yeah.
Yeah. So that was something we kind of knew was going to be their thing going into it, and it proved to be true. And would have been interested to see if they started fouling earlier, how things would have worked out.
Like a hack-a-shack.
Yeah. But moving down, obviously they out-rebounded us, 36 for them. 12 assists, 9 steals, 15 turnovers, 21 fouls. So the fouls were pretty even. This wasn't a tale of Providence where they got all the foul calls. box score wise, we'll move into the players now. You already mentioned Supreme Cook. He had 16 points on 4 of 8 from the field, 8 for 10 from the line. This was probably the biggest bright point from that game was Supreme's free throw shooting.
I mean, he looked good.
If he can continue that all year, that's a problem for the MAC.
It's also back-to-back games against high D1 opponents that he looked like not overmatched in.
Yeah, I think he's kind of separated himself this past week as the center.
Yeah.
You know, over my, I think he's definitely outshined Mido in these first three games, or at least, I mean, last night was kind of a take it with a grain of salt, but
first two games against legit opponents.
Yeah. So, Supreme Cook was probably the player of the game, 7 rebounds, only 1 foul, so you'd like to see that. He didn't foul out this time. Only 1 turnover. So, yeah, strong game from him, like we mentioned, and the game plan revolved around him, so you obviously would expect that. Chrysler had 0 points in this one, 0 for 3 from the field, which were all 3-point attempts, 1 turnover, 3 fouls. So,
you know, 11 minutes, though.
Yeah, didn't really get too involved in this one. And, it's crazy. It's crazy how, I don't know if I'd say inconsistent, but it's just crazy how, he leads the team in scoring right against Providence, and then he doesn't score in this game. Distributive amongst the team.
To be fair, almost like probably close to like 50 to 75% of his shots are three-pointers. So, like, with a guy taking that many three-pointers for his shots, you have to imagine there's going to be some highs and lows. Like, some games he just won't be hitting his shots. And this game, that was coupled with just him not getting a ton of playing time. But it seemed like Long and Cruz kind of took his that four spot away from him for most of the game.
Yeah, and Cruz played pretty well, too. So, obviously, it's also dependent on how the other guy's playing, right? If he's playing well, he's not going to come out, and then, you know, his minutes are going to be affected. So, just not his best game. Wojcik, 32 minutes, 2 for 8 from the field, 1 for 3 from 3, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 turnovers, 2 fouls, 5 points. Again, kind of in that slump.
Yeah.
Jake hasn't really found his shot consistently up to this point, so that's something that's going to have to get figured out over the next couple weeks.
We trust him to figure it out at some point. It just takes one game.
Yeah, and no, that's the thing, too. It's never, like, time to panic or anything like that, but, you know, even in, like, warm-ups last night and stuff, and even in the game a little bit last night, not 100% where you'd want him to be. And even last night, and we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but last night, even there were some shots that I wish he would have taken that he kind of pump faked, didn't attempt, seemed a little more hesitant than we would have seen him last year. So, I don't know. Hopefully he gets back on track. Definitely a guy you're going to need going into MAC play. You know, can't have him scoring 5 points in the MAC. So, hopefully that gets figured out. Caleb Green, 18 minutes, 0 for 1 from the field. 1 rebound, 1 steal, 2 turnovers, 2 fouls, no points. Caleb had a poor night against Boston College. Really outplayed by their point guard.
Both their guards are really good. Langford is Ashton Langford, and are they brothers? Is it confirmed?
Yeah, they are.
Those I guess the Langford brothers both played really well offensively against Caleb and defensively guarding him.
Yeah, and they did outsize him.
We go into these games saying Caleb will be outsized. It'll probably not be the best matchup for him, but at least this game, Jae Young kind of realized,
made an adjustment.
Yeah.
Only 18 minutes from him, which we usually see close to 40.
Yeah. And, so, I mean, that doesn't mean that will be his for the time being. Like, he will still be the starting point guard for the rest of the year. But if there is a situation where they are outsizing us, even if it's in MAC play, I hope that becomes, like, a normal thing that Caleb will – he won't be immune to getting put on the bench at times.
Yeah, because we didn't know how – because, you know, Jae Young speaks so highly about him that, you know, we had thought maybe he wouldn't take him out or, like you said, might be immune to getting taken out. But, yeah, I think a lot of people saw in the Boston College game how much of a liability he was at that time, and he needed to
come out. It's not even, like, offensively. Like, I bet you like he probably is still helpful on offensive end, no matter how few stats he puts up. But like defensively, it's just too much of a mismatch. Like you need like a TJ Long or Cruz in there to just.
Yeah, because the buckets they were scoring on him were easy.
Yeah.
Driving by, and it kind of happened as well with Bynum and Providence.
That was
right.
You couldn't tell because of the fouls. There were so many fouls going on in that game.
So
we could still see. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, overall, this is a poor game from him, but we like the decision that he did play. His minutes were affected by it. Finally, Taj, 33 minutes, 5 for 13 from the field, 2 for 3 from 3, 2 for 2 from the line, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 3 turnovers, 3 fouls, 14 points, making him the leading scorer of that game. You know, Taj has been battling this year. I feel like he's been, you know, putting in good effort, and he's been our go-to guy at times. I think that he's earned it with, you know, what he's done for us. And I think that, I don't know, when other guys are slumping, I think he's still there to kind of pick up the pieces.
Yeah,
but
I mean, when they're struggling on offense, it seems like he's the one to kind of break the spell, usually with, like, some tough shot. What I think is, like, the biggest difference between him now and him freshman sophomore year is, like, him in the mid-range is, like, a legit threat.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just, like, a...
His turnaround jumper.
His moving jumpers in around the free throw line. Like, on that baseline, he's, like, a very threatening presence because he can still drive, too. Like, you can't take that away from
him. Yeah, and 2 for 3 from 3. If he can keep the three-point percentage high, that'll allow him to expand, you know, more of his game. Like, if that's a threat that he can provide, it's only going to help him in the other areas.
Three levels.
Yeah.
That's what you hold from an all-MAC guy.
Yeah. Us all-MAC snub. So he's still got to be playing with some anger, too.
I mean, that Medgar Evers game, he, like, did not miss from three.
Yeah, and it allows him to, like, drive. And then even him drive, I'm very confident when he drives. He's very, obviously, very tough. And then, obviously, very high percentage free throw shooter as well. So there's so many aspects to his game that could benefit us if his three-point shot becomes more consistent. And it was last year. So hopefully this year it's the same way. Moving on to the bench, Allen Jean Rose, only 5 minutes, 1 rebound, 1 assist. That's pretty much it for him. So he's kind of back into that
minor, just
that,
like,
floating area where he's getting a couple minutes, not doing much with it. Last night, obviously, the bench played more.
Yeah.
So we'll look into that. But for that game, you know, not much there. Same with Jalen Leach, you know, 5 minutes, 0 for 2 from the field, 1 foul, 1 rebound. Not much of him in that game. I would have actually liked to see him more in that game,
too.
Yeah,
I mean, because the offense, like, it was, like, kind of struggling a little bit in the first half. So, like, it would have been nice to see him get some more shooting on the court. Maybe, like, put Jalen in for Caleb or Jalen in for Chrysler and go really small. Like, I mean, it would have been interesting to see if they could have used him in a way that could have gotten, like, the three-point shooting going. Because the three-point shooting was kind of bad for a while.
And even, like, Jalen, Jake. Even, like, a lineup with, like, Jalen, Jake, Taj, Cruz, and Supreme, if you were going small.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a bad lineup right there. But we didn't see much from him in that game. Obviously, he was a bright spot last night, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. TJ Long, 28 minutes, 5 for 7 from the field, 2 for 4 from 3, 1 for 1 from the line, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 3 fouls, 13 points. So, again, one of the bright spots of the team in this game. And, again, showing that he's not afraid to go up against these big teams, high-profile teams, players, and go right at them, drive at them, shoot in their face, and... He's been well. He's been playing well. He's established himself as a guy that's going to get a lot of minutes. You already see 28 minutes in this game.
I mean, he's stealing minutes from Caleb and Chrysler, who are both seniors.
Well, Chrysler's a junior.
A junior, I don't know, that's what I meant. But
upperclassman. Yeah. So he's the real deal. I think we tweeted that during the game, too, during the Boston College game. But he's the real deal. Even watching him in warm-ups yesterday, isn't a miss at all.
He's great.
And usually Fairfield in warm-ups, they don't have a lot of guys that don't miss. That's not a knock on them,
no,
but it's just it just is what it is.
It's like a subtlety.
But in warm-ups last night, he doesn't miss. And yeah, he's just, he's going to be a special player for Fairfield. And you're already seeing him, you know, lead, almost lead the team in scoring as a second game freshman. So, just good things about TJ Long, only good things about TJ Long. And I'm excited to see what he'll do as his minutes increase, his role increases. People are talking about maybe him slipping into the starting lineup, you know?
Yeah, it'd be tough. It'd be tough just because he's a guard and your three guards are kind of locked in for almost the whole season.
Yeah, because if you did want to start him, who would actually be the primary ball handler? Would it be Taj?
It's like if you're planning on replacing him with Caleb, it would be Taj or Jake. I mean, I guess it could be Jake, but Taj preferentially.
I mean, he's already played that role for a couple of years.
But it was like out of necessity. It wasn't like a.
It wasn't his choice. Yeah, but I don't know, Jake. He probably has the skill to do it, but you'd probably prefer that he
stays off ball.
Wasn't doing it.
I mean, you could insert him for Chrysler if you're playing a smaller team, but I mean that'd be a little bit too small of a lineup, I think.
Yeah, unless Taj played like the four. I don't know. Like you said, it's tough, but it also doesn't really matter who starts.
He's still getting 28.
Yeah, he's still getting the minutes. So. Moving on, Mido, 17 minutes, 1-for-1 from the field, 1-for-2 from the line, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 points, 4 fouls, 2 turnovers. So in a game where the offensive focus was on the bigs, he didn't necessarily show out.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really his game. Like, Cook's back-to-the-basket game is obviously, like we talked about, it's so much better than his at this point. So, like... It'd be tough to, like obviously Cook's going to thrive more when it's, like, when you give him the ball and everybody clears out. Like, I don't think Mido has that skill and, like, knowledge yet to, like, kind of take the ball by himself and make a move on somebody like that.
But then what, you know, like, what would it, It'd be what like, would he provide then, though?
Putbacks and, like, I guess, like, rolls to the rim. Like, I guess it would just be a different, it has to be, like, a different type of offense when Mido's on the floor compared to Cook, it seems like.
Yeah, it's just a bit disappointing when the game plan's around the big guys. He only had 3 points, you know. Because then when it's not around them, what's the share going to be like then, you know?
Yeah.
But moving on, Jesus Cruz, 26 minutes, 4-for-10 from the field, 3-for-6 from three, 2-for-2 from the line, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 fouls, 13 points. He's had a very good start to the year. He's been solid. Not forcing too much and playing his role and doing it well. And he's going to be a guy, too, that might sneak back into the starting lineup at times.
And it makes – he's I mean, he's, like, proving, like, he does deserve to belong.
Yeah. We're back on the – I think we're back on the train officially. Are we ready to declare that?
If he keeps shooting the three like this, I would say so.
Yeah, he's doing well. And he's not a liability in any sense. Playing well on defensive side as well, forcing turnovers, and he's been off to a good start. And he's kind of like a guy that if he's going to play well, that's a huge help for us because last year he didn't play so well, and look where you know we still finished.
Yeah,
ended up.
He's like instant offense. Like that's a 10 to like 15 point score, just like. Appears out of the blue that we didn't have last year.
Yeah, and like you said, like he's been doing well from three, and usually his game is driving to the rim and making something happen, some acrobatic play at the rim. But we haven't even seen that as much this year. So if he can bring that side of his game back into it and still be able to hit the three effectively.
We saw it a little bit of Medgar Evers, but like that doesn't really even count.
Yeah.
We saw him, like, it's basically a practice.
Yeah, yeah. So
we saw him try it.
On an actual, like, a MAC level or even, like, at a conference that, you know,
is lower.
D1 at a conference, whatever. If he can bring that side of his game back into it and still shoot the three effectively, just like Taj, people are going to have to start respecting him from behind the line. And it's going to, open up the lanes for him. So, I think Cruz has been a very good surprise to start the season. And I hope he carries that on. And, final take on the Boston College game. For me, I would just say again, it's like a little disappointing because I really felt like we could have beat Providence and Boston College with a couple shots going our way, different things going our way. I think we definitely played a lot better against Providence. The Boston College game was a little disappointing just because the way the offense was pretty poor compared to the Providence offense or our offense against Providence. So it's a little disheartening knowing you probably could have beat one of those two teams and, you know, been a big, you know, all over the news or whatever, a big shocking upset or, you know, get some good publicity and some good morale going into the season. But if you told us at the beginning of the year that this would have been the outcome, you know, we were thinking we probably would have lost by 20 to Providence. We lost by 7, you know. So if you told us this would have been the outcome, I think we would have been happy with it. But the way it went down, I think we kind of expected more out of our team. So
yeah.
It's a weird feeling, kind of.
Weird feeling because it could have been such a big deal. If like we're obviously not disappointed by it, but like it could have been like such a big deal if they upset one of these two teams.
Yeah, and not only like it could have been such a big deal, but it was very, very possible too.
Yeah.
Like we definitely could have beat one of these teams or both of them. So
it would almost have been better if we lost by 20 to both of them. That's like we didn't really have that like taste of like.
Yeah, you're almost there. But I guess you got to be careful what you wish for as a fan, right? Just be happy that it was as close as it was and they showed good spots against these teams and earned their respect too. Like Nate Watson said. So, I guess that's kind of our take on those two games. And then we had Medgar Evers last night, opening night at Webster Bank Arena. Nice night. I had fun. I was working. Unfortunately, I didn't get to catch like a good portion of the game because I was running around doing stuff. But I'll try. Jack's going to have to, you're going to have to be like the lead analyst on this one because I didn't get to catch like most of the game.
It's like, it was weird. It was so weird to watch that game. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I guess like, it just like, there was like, from like the start, just seemed like they were playing like pickup because it was just like, it was kind of like a basket, go back and forth, miss, three-pointer, miss, three-pointer. Like, it was what, 20-3 to start, I think it was?
Yeah, 20-3, 17-0.
So, I mean, it got to the point where I was like, do I even like take anything out of this point?
Yeah, it's tough because it's almost like a scrimmage.
Like that's what it felt like.
Like a preseason scrimmage. And, you know, first of all, Medgar Evers was late to the game. They didn't really warm up. I guess you couldn't see it on TV, but they didn't warm up until like the maybe like 14-minute mark before the game. Meanwhile, Fairfield was out there with like starting with like an hour before the game. So obviously that wouldn't have changed much, but like just off the bat, they weren't even on time for warm-ups. I think they were in traffic. Their team was severely outsized, obviously D3 level, so outskilled. So it is kind of like a scrimmage, and it's weird. Like, it's weird putting them after you play two really strong teams because you're almost like regressing.
Yeah, it's like,
and then you got to progress and play like a rivalry game against Sacred Heart. So it's kind of weird. There was even like a guy in the stadium last night, some guy that like won the 50-50, and I was like walking him to go claim it or whatever, and he was like, why are we playing this team? Like, do you know why we like scheduled this game? I was like, I don't know. I guess it's just like a tune-up.
Yeah. I guess everyone has one of those. But the bigger D1 teams, like they play a lower D1 team, so like a tune-up for like the lower D1 team
would be like us.
Yeah, it would be like,
or like a tune-up for like a Duke or something.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like a tune-up for like the big ones would be a team of like Fairfield's caliber. Like a tune-up for Fairfield's caliber would have to be like
a D3 team.
Yeah, so it's like,
yeah, and you see, like all the teams had it. Sacred Heart just had one. Manhattan obviously had one.
Who did they play? They were talking, what was it, like Phillips College or something?
They played Fisher, I think, in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Everyone has one of them. It's just weird. I guess it's like a nice way to open up play back in Webster Bank.
Win.
It's almost like a, I don't know. It's almost like one of those like, I guess it's just like a really nice, a guaranteed win. It feels almost like one of those like red-white scrimmages, like the like Red Sea Madness type of things, where it's like the team's just gonna pull out all their, you know, their dunks, their threes. Like it's almost like a showcase.
At the end of the game, Medgar Evers with like 2 or 3 minutes left, they had a fast break and they tried an off the backboard alley oop that like went it went like straight out of bounds. But it was like so like I don't know, it was so odd.
Yeah, I barely got to watch the second half at all. I was like running around, so I didn't catch that. But the beginning of the game, it was really nice to see all the three-pointers that they made, because like at the end of the day, an open three is going to be the same, you know, against Medgar Evers or against Sacred Heart or against Iona.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Fayetteville doesn't get open threes. It's just that they can't put them home a lot.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know if they were more comfortable because they knew like they were going to kill this team. You know, the pressure is not as high, but they were making them right in the beginning, right from the start.
Yeah.
It's obviously good for the freshmen to get comfortable in the arena. Even the other new players like Jake and Chrysler and them didn't play a whole lot of there last year, right?
They didn't play any. They came in middle last year. They didn't play a game in
Webster Bank. Yeah, so it's good for them to get familiarized with it. The student section last night was not too bad, honestly.
Really? I saw some clips of this crowd.
It was like a decent... It wasn't like anything special, but it was like, you know, a few rows. Saw a couple posters.
Yeah.
So that was nice. Again, like, it wasn't overly crowded, but it was just nice to have fans back.
In a game like that, you can't even, like, expect it to be crowded. Like, I know Fairfield's student section isn't the best, but, like, it's tough enough to get people to go, but to see them go play
a D3 school.
Medgar Evers, it's like...
Yeah. So, but overall, I thought it was nice. I enjoyed being back working basketball. It's a fun time. So, yeah, I thought the overall atmosphere was cool just to be back. But let's look at the game stats. Fairfield, they shot 59%, 59.7. So almost 60%. I don't think we've ever seen them shoot that high.
And they went, like, ice cold at the towards the end. Like, they weren't hitting anything.
Really?
Like, that later in the... Well, because that was when, like, all the walk-ons were in.
Oh, okay.
So you had, like, Mullaly and all those guys, like, shooting threes. So it was, like... That's, like, even lower than...
Yeah, and it almost doesn't... Yeah, you almost shouldn't really count that towards the overall percentage, but... You know, almost 60% from the field, 44% from three, 81% from the line, which, I mean, there's only 11 free throws. This game had, like, no stoppages.
I mean, it was, like, all three-pointers.
It was a quick game.
We
it had,
took
like,
34,
no
they took 35. That's 73s between the two teams.
Yeah. There was, like, because when you're working, you have to, like, follow the script and stuff, like the under 12, like they were almost overlapping, and you have things that you're doing at each of those, and like they were almost overlapping. Like the under 12 almost was like the under 8.
Like 9 minutes
left. It went to like 9 something, and I was like, oh my god. So like this game was going very quick. There was not that many fouls, not that many. The ball wasn't even going out of bounds or anything. There was like not that many stoppages in the game, but 81% from the free throw line, 51 rebounds to their 33. Honestly, it's kind of amazing that they even got 33 rebounds due to, like, the height difference.
Yeah, I mean, you think, like, 15... I think when you take that many threes, like, a fewer bound to be long rebounds. I mean, a lot of it was, like, long rebounds. And also just, like, towards the end...
You don't care as
not
much.
Not as much, like...
Yeah.
The big guys weren't going hard, like, in the paint, really, most of the game.
38 assists for Fairfield, which that's probably one of their highs.
Well, they were talking about... They were talking on the broadcast about, I think it was Fairfield's scoring record.
I think someone was saying...
All time. And then their three-point record all time.
They were, like, close to the three-point record.
They were approaching both of them. They didn't hit either, I don't think. Because I think it was... They said they scored... One of the guys in the broadcast said when he played there, they scored, like, 122 against Sacred Heart or something like that. Or Holy Cross.
Oh, like DeSantis?
I forget who it was. But, it was against Holy Cross. It was, like, 122 against them. But they were, like... I think they had, like, 83 with, like, 12 minutes left. And they were like, oh, shoot, like...
Yeah, well, obviously, if they, like, played their starters and stuff, they could have scored 200.
I mean, they're on pace for 140 at halftime.
They probably could have scored like one. If they played their starters all game, probably like 160.
Yeah.
Like they had like, what'd they have at halftime?
68.
Yeah, so.
And that was after they took their starters out for like the end of the first game. They weren't even playing like Taj Green, Mojic, like their starters only got 10 minutes.
Yeah. And then we had 8 steals, 7 blocks, 10 turnovers, 11 fouls, largest lead of 61. So.
Largest
lead of 61. So, as far as Medgar Evers goes, they had 26% from the floor, 37 from three, 60% free throw shooters, 33 rebounds, 10 assists, 6 steals, 15 turnovers, 8 fouls. So, you know, honestly, respect. You got to respect the fact that they drove all the way here, and they probably got a nice check for it for playing us, but. Just not really a contest in this one.
Thankfully, it wasn't the epitome of brutality for us, as Rosty would say.
Well, that's the thing, too. That was
favorite loses a bye game, the Medgar Evers, epitome of brutality.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's, like, weird when you do these games because it's, like, if you beat them, it's not a big deal. No one really cares.
But if you lose,
but if you lose, it's catastrophic. Like, if Fairfield lost last night,
I would stop being a fan.
Like, arguably, the show would be done.
Yeah.
The show is over. No, like, that's, like, the weird thing about these games, though, is it's, like, a win doesn't do much for you, but a loss could, like, ruin your season. Yeah.
Ruin your expectations for the season.
But let's just look at the stats. Supreme Cook played 9 minutes, 2 for 2 from the field, 4 points.
I'm pretty sure Cook and Mido's, all their baskets were dunks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Mido's were, like...
I think Mido actually, like, I, like, checked. I think Fairfield posted about it. Like, he had 6 dunks.
Mido's, like... His dunks were just like, it was just like.
They tried to get some cool ones. Like, I think Allen threw a lob. Or I think someone tried to throw a lob to Allen at one point. He like didn't finish it, but like.
Yeah.
They were trying to get fancy, I guess.
Mido's dunks were like, they were just like easy rebounds that he just like placed in the basket. Like, it was just like so easy for him last night. But Cook, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, 9 minutes. Obviously, you don't want to. Put a lot of stress on the big guys, too. Long season ahead of them, especially he had injuries last year.
All people.
Chrysler, 9 minutes, 0 for 3 from the field. They're all three-pointers again. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 foul. So hopefully he finds his shot back.
Yeah, I mean, he'll go through ebbs and flows. He'll be fine.
Yeah, especially for like someone like him. Like
a big man. It's a whole lot of moving parts to get a three-point shot from a big man like that.
So... Wojcik, 10 minutes, 5 for 7 from the field, 3 for 5 from 3. 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 13 points. And then Caleb, 15 minutes, 2 for 2 from the field, 1 for 1 from 3, 2 for 2 from the line, 7 assists, 2 steals, 7 points, 1 foul. It's nice to see Caleb.
Yeah, kind of get some confidence.
Yeah, even seeing him hit a 3 is like, it's nice to see.
Seeing him finish at the rim is nice because he looks like... He looks good when he's playing well, if that makes sense. Like, when he's at, like, scoring and stuff, he looked like last year when we watched him play.
Yeah, in the tournament when he was playing well.
He looked good, but it's just like you rarely ever see that scoring side of Caleb because you're just.
Outsized.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the tale of his whole playing is just being outsized. So
and you wonder why he went to wherever, I forget where Holy Cross. You wonder why, like. He originally had to go to Holy Cross. Like, maybe he was just so outsized. Like, coaches, like, didn't really feel like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, like, a really big thing in basketball, obviously. So, yeah, I hope that he finds some games throughout the season where he's not outmatched to a point where he can contribute on offense. Even 7 points from him is a big deal. If you can get 7 points from him in a regular game, like...
With his passing and, like... I mean, he also had 7 assists. Like, that kind of stuff, like...
He also didn't miss either. He didn't miss any shots. So it's like, it's not like he had 7 on like 8 shots. He had 7 on it. 2 shots and free throws.
So like, hopefully, obviously, we're not expecting 7 and 7 from like every game. But if he gets 7 points with a couple assists, low turnovers, like we'll take that.
That could be a game changer.
Yeah, seven points.
We lost by Providence at 7 points.
7
so.
Points and 2 assists because he usually puts up 0. So it's like,
I know. Yeah. So. 7 would be a big improvement. obviously, it's Medgar Evers, so it's not going to be like, he's not going to be dropping seven every week. But
he's not even getting the looks he got tonight.
Oh. Yeah, no. But it's cool to see that. I guess it just shows you that he does have the capabilities to do it, but it's just the fact that he just can't against some of these teams.
Sometimes the paint is just too packed up with size.
Yeah, he usually drives in and gets, you know, swatted away right away. So, nice to see him doing well. And then Jake, we didn't really talk about Jake, but he, I guess,
shooting the numbers look good. I didn't really remember him being that efficient.
He had a couple threes like right off the bat. I think
he had the first three of the game.
Yeah, I think he had like two threes right in the first like maybe five possessions. So hopefully he found his shot back. And I guess that's another positive of a game like this is that guys can use it to find their shot back.
Yeah, everybody's like, it's like their get right game.
Taj, 10 minutes, 4 for 5 from the field, 3 for 4 from 3, as you mentioned. 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 11 points. Yeah, you said he played well last night, right?
I thought so. Obviously, you mentioned, like, before season even started, he looked better against smaller people, even in high school. Like, guys.
Well, we were talking about Taj.
I thought you were talking about Makai with me.
No, just now.
Oh. Yeah, Taj. I mean, Taj.
I was just saying, because before you mentioned he shot well from three. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, no, Taj. I mean, I remember, I think all three of those were, like, back to back, if I remember. So, like, I remember the announcers were, like, talking about Taj, how he, like, improved his three-point shot, which we remember from a couple of years ago was not very good. And they were talking about how, like, his, like, weird, like, his weird form, how he, like, kind of shot puts it. And they were like, kids, it doesn't matter how you shoot it, just shoot it. If it goes in the basket, it's all good.
Was that what they were saying? Yeah.
Well, they made it sound like it was, like, as long, like, they were like, he may shoot weird, but he does this, he has the same release every time, which is like, for the guy like Caleb, like, he shoots out, like, his release a little bit more normal than Taj's, but it's different every time. And you wonder why, like, even though Taj is like probably a worse looking shot than Caleb, why it goes in more often.
Consistency is very important.
It trumps
muscle,
like,
memory. Yeah. So, 11 minutes and 10, 11 points in 10 minutes. Positive night from Taj. You didn't, obviously, again, like, the main guys, you don't want to stress them too much in a game like this.
Yeah, just worst case scenario is an injury.
We got bigger things, you know, coming up. Makai Willis is the one you want to talk about. 17 minutes, 6 for 9 from the field, 2 for 2 from the line, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover, no fouls, 14 points, which is tied for the lead along with Jalen. So Makai is obviously someone we've been excited to see. We've gotten like small glimpses of him in the first two games, but last night he played very well.
I think it's gonna be like his quality will be like it'll be between like what we saw in the Providence game and then what we saw in this game.
Uh-huh.
Like, you won't see like nothing out of him against Mackey points, but you also won't see like
14 points out of him. Yeah, and we talked about this before the show. In our previous shows, we were like, all right, his high school tape looks good, but it's against primarily smaller teams. Again, last night, primarily smaller team. So we still don't know what he looks like when he goes up against guys his size.
We saw a glimpse of it against Providence.
We barely saw it, like not even enough to really judge. So I think it's still kind of like too early to say that, you know, he's going to be a contributor this year or not. But it's still nice to see him, you know, have a good stat line. He's still a freshman. This is like his first real minutes. So, and we hope he does well. He would be a big help if you have him, Mido, and Cook. As we mentioned, with like foul trouble and stuff like that, having a third guy in that equation. So
just like it gives Mido and Cook like, or gives Jay Young, I guess, more confidence to like play Mido or Cook with three fouls if they have to.
It gives them a longer leash to play those guys, like you said, with higher foul count.
Like last year, especially like last year's, like Mido or Cook got two fouls early. It was like it hindered the rest of the team's like chances for the rest of the game.
Yeah,
like two early fouls on Cook or Mido were like huge. Now it's like hopefully it won't be as big of a deal.
So we hope he can continue that. And then we had Jason played 14 minutes, 2 for 4 from the field, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 4 points, turnover, a foul. I don't know. I didn't get to see him play at all last night.
I saw him in the game. I don't remember really any of his baskets. And I guess he must have not done anything too crazy good or crazy bad for me to not even notice. But
yeah,
he also got in towards like the part where I started like kind of dozing off. I was like, when it was like just baskets over.
Where it really didn't matter much.
Yeah.
I guess that's a bad sign for him.
He's not really getting those like.
Playing wise, right? Did he even get in the first half?
Did he? I forget. No, because Willis definitely got in before he did.
Okay.
I feel like I might be wrong about that, but I'm almost positive.
Yeah, because he was a guy last year that was literally
starting in
the
MAC championship
tournament. Yeah, so it's weird that you know his, I guess,
his role is diminished so much.
Yeah, his diminished role this year, and I don't know. Again, Jae Young, you go back to Jae Young saying they want to move him to the floor, and it's been a struggle, but I guess it still hasn't been smoothed out yet. So. We'll have to see what the deal is with him. Allen Jean Rose, 16 minutes, 3 for 6 from the field, 1 for 2 from 3, 4 for 4 from the line, 11 points, 8 assists.
8 assists? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
He played a good game last night?
I haven't seen him shoot a 3-pointer in like a very long time. And like his jump shot is like kind of weird.
Yeah, well, I feel like Jae Young might have even said that on our show.
He got the ball in a corner. I guess I never really expected him to shoot it. And it was just like, I don't know. He made one, and it was like pretty like semi-contested. Remember when he made it? So hopefully it gives him some confidence to shoot the ball. Because I mean that Providence game, I remember he had a couple times where he was.
Just in general, in his career, he's had a lot of times where he's hesitated too much and then puts the ball down, drives, and then it goes off his foot or throws it away or something. And it's like, if you have that shot, take it.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, even, like I said already, Jake did that a couple times last night. Not turned it over, but he just hesitated and then put it down and then kind of had nowhere to go with it. And it's like, if you have that shot, take it. Why not? Especially
we need offense so bad that, like, when we get open threes, we have to take them because, like, we don't get, like...
Open threes as much as we'd like to, yeah. And like, 3 points. 3 points for us is huge. We're going to play a lot of games this year that are going to be very close.
55 to 52, we're, like, a three-pointer.
Maybe not that low, but like,
you know what I mean? Like, we're a three, like...
I'm just saying, we're probably going to play a lot of close games in the MAC, and a three-point swing can be big, so...
Especially when it's, like, in the lower scoring... echelon, because I don't expect us to score 65 to 70 points every game.
Hopefully we can,
but I don't expect like 70 points from our team every game. So,
yeah.
Like when it's lower scoring, one basket can mean a lot more than in a game where it's 100 to 95 or whatever.
Yeah, Mido, 13 minutes, 6 for 6 from the field. I think you mentioned all 6 were dunks, maybe?
I thought I saw that on Twitter. I thought I saw a favorite basketball tweet about that.
Three rebounds,
it
three blocks.
It wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me one bit.
Again, it's like a game where he was playing with like children out there, you know.
It was so not fair.
It wasn't fair. So I don't really know how well you can assess it, but I hope that's like a confidence booster for him because he's one of those guys that like really needs to play with fire every time he's out there, and he doesn't always play with that fire. And if he does, you could see him.
Chris Mido, 6 for 6 tonight with 6 dunks. Stags lead 98-45. That was the tweet that I saw.
Okay.
So it was 6 for 6 with 6 dunks.
Okay. So, good for him. Hopefully he has that same fire inside of him to go up and dunk, like, you know, against MAC players and draw fouls least, and, you know.
At least draw the foul.
Yeah. So, good for him. TJ Long, 17 minutes, 4 for 9 from the field, 2 for 7 from 3, 1 for 2 from the line, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 11 points, 1 foul. Another solid game for him.
I could care less how he shoots. Like at this point, like 2 for 7, like it doesn't even like faze me when I see him go 2 for 7 because it's like he's gonna go 5 for 7. Like he's gonna go,
and if he's gonna be one of the leading scorers, he's gonna have to take that amount of shots.
And the fact that he can still go 4 for 9 from the field is overall and be 2 for 7 from three, which means, like, when he gets to the paint, he's finishing. Like, it just shows, like, when his three-point shot isn't falling, he can still be...
Yeah, like, I don't think that's a bad game at all. I think it's a solid game. So...
But I think a 2-for-7 from TJ Long is like looks a lot different than, like, 2-of-7 from three from, like...
Allen or like...
Even, like, Taj. Like, seeing him go 2-for-7 from three, I feel like...
Yeah, at some point, you'd probably want him to shut it down if he's missing that much from three.
But TJ
right?
Long, it's like, if he gets goes 2-for-7, I'd say, I'm keep shooting
it. Like I said, he didn't miss in warm-ups, like, at all. And it's, like, it's rare to, like, see that. I've watched a lot of warm-ups. And, for Fairfield, and it's rare to kind of see that. Sivas, he played his first game, 20 minutes, 0-for-1 from the field, 0-for-1 from 3, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 turnover, 3 fouls, no points. I didn't really get to see him play too much.
When I came in, I didn't even recognize him. I was like, he was playing with like the starters for a little bit, or like not the starters, like the second unit.
Uh-huh.
So, like, he was, like, kind of, like, not really getting the ball, like, getting his shot that much. And I was, like, waiting for him to, like, just do something, like, really cool. And I didn't really see anything. Because I obviously could see, like, he didn't really do much, like, stat-wise.
Yeah.
I was waiting for, like, some crazy pass or something, but unfortunately.
I was reading, like, the message boards and stuff because I didn't really get to see him play. And they seemed a little disappointed, too. Like, they were... It's kind of like a guy that if he played really well and shined, he could be in a position to take minutes from Caleb, especially because point guard is kind of the position that we're, I'd say, lacking most right now.
Yeah.
That's our biggest deficiency. So if he was able to show something, then it's like great because he could take minutes right away, but they seemed a little disappointed. Again, I didn't really get to see much from him when he was playing. I was kind of running around, but yeah, I guess it's a little disappointing. But that's his first game ever in college, so let's not...
Let's not call anything.
Yeah, yeah. So, moving on, Leach. This is a guy who I thought was probably, like, the biggest bright spot from yesterday's game.
Yeah, he probably had the best game I'd give him.
21 minutes, 5-for-8 from the field, 4-for-6 from 3, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks, no turnovers, no fouls, 14 points, again, tied for... the leading on the team, him and Makai. So this is a guy we've obviously been a big fan of, and to this point this season he hasn't played a whole lot, and like we already talked about with the Boston College game, we wish he had gotten more opportunity taking minutes from guys in his position that weren't playing as well. Mm-hmm. He hasn't gotten that opportunity this year until last night, and I thought his shot looked pretty good.
I mean, he looked confident too. Like,
right from the beginning too.
I mean, we've always said, like, our favorite part about him is how smooth he is with, like, everything he does. Because, I mean, like, there aren't many guys that are, like, smooth like that. I think, like, it's, like, Jalen, Long, and, like, Jake at times are, like, the only three that are kind of, like, confident. Like, not confident, but smooth enough to where, like, it looks like, I don't know how to describe it, but.
Looks like they belong,
yeah.
Kind of. I know what you're saying.
I don't know how to describe it. Not like they're better than everyone else, because, like, obviously I think Taj is still the best player on the team, but they just have that, like, swagger, I guess.
Yeah, one of the things from Jalen's, like, obviously there was no in-person basketball last year, and I didn't get to work or anything. Like, seeing him, like, up close and right in front, he's a lot taller than I, like, pictured on TV.
He seems lanky.
He's a lot taller than I pictured on TV, and he seems like... a little bit stronger, too, than you would think on TV. Like, I feel like you picture him as a little bit skinnier and a little bit smaller on TV.
Like a slim, lanky.
He's actually a lot taller and a little bit more stronger than I had thought on the way he looks on TV. And definitely a lot taller than Caleb. And, like, I don't know. It's really interesting. I would love to see him, like, run point with Jake, like, with the whole lineup.
I would love to see the main four with... Jalen instead of Caleb, just to, like, see how it goes.
Yeah, because he would definitely be a big improvement, like, height-wise and strength defensively. And I mean, he had 3 blocks last night. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess he would probably be, like, the MVP of the game.
Yeah.
And hopefully he proved himself enough. Again, grain of salt, Medgar Evers, but hopefully he proved himself enough to get at least more than 5 minutes on Saturday against Sacred Heart. We'll see, but... hopefully he did. Cruz, 10 minutes, 2 for 3 from the field, 0 for 1 from 3, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 points. Again, not a whole lot there, but again, it's like a fifth-year guy going up against a D3 school. Probably going to, you know, let him take the back seat for the day, let the young guys get some experience and, you know, enjoy the day off for the most part, 10 minutes.
Just another day at the office.
Just another day at Webster Bank Arena. And then finally, you had some of the bench guys play. It was good to see them get a chance.
T. Mullally hit a three.
Yeah. Brown had 2 points. So, yeah, nice to see them get in. When they get in the game, you know, it's a good day in Stag country. Yeah. And the people, and those are the guys that – those are guys that are, like, the heart of the team. Yeah. So, that, you know, like, the rest of the guys are on the bench, like, going crazy for them. So good to see them get out there. Overall, like we said, it's kind of almost like a fun day. It's almost like a showcase. It almost feels like a showcase. So, yeah, it's like an opening season, like, celebration showcase thing. You're not going to take this game with, like, too much, but it's nice to set the mood for the rest of the season. Get some happy people. Basketball's finally back. Fans are finally back. You know, it's cool. It's nice to be back and in person. And for me, working again. I forgot how to roll T-shirts, and then they had to teach me again for the T-shirt toss. But we're finally back, and it feels really good to be back in person. Now, for the last couple of minutes, let's turn our attention to this new war that has been launched since last night. I'm sure a lot of you listening know about the video Sacred Heart posted yesterday on their Twitter. If you don't, basically they had their Pioneer mascot, Big Red, chasing some kid in a deer costume, deer onesie, chasing him around like campus and then our campus, and then he like chasing him around town and stuff, and then finally he like steps on the kid in the deer onesie. Yeah. They like killed him, and it's like,
is that what we look like?
Fear the Pioneer at the end, like mocking our saying of Fear the Deer. So, disrespectful video. War has been declared against Sacred Heart. I know Jack can't make it, but I'll be there Saturday, bringing a couple of my friends. We're gonna do our best. As far as Stags in the Stands, we're gonna do our best to try to get as many students as we can to the game. Red Sea Radio on Twitter. I got some things in the vault to post about Sacred Heart, some memes and some pictures and hopefully some videos to post about Sacred Heart. So war has officially begun, and if you see our posts, please give us a little like or a retweet. Spread the word. Hopefully, I'm sure a lot of you guys will also be at the game Saturday. A lot of you guys listening. So let's get there. Let's get rowdy. Hopefully we beat them. Their team, they've got 2 losses this year, 2 wins. They beat LaSalle University, and they beat Fisher College, D3 school. That's their tune-up that they just played last night.
They were talking about the LaSalle game. They said, like, they were talking about how they were, like, it was, like, a surprising win.
Yeah, they only won by 4 or 5. But they did lose to PC by almost 30.
Yeah.
We beat them. We lost by 7. And then they lost to Binghamton at home by 12.
Then they were saying that was like a surprising loss in the broadcast.
Yeah. I saw Frank chirping them on Twitter last night under their video of us. So we got them Saturday at Sacred Heart, 8 p.m. Make sure you buy your tickets. And hopefully we can beat them. Hopefully we beat them pretty good. I don't really know how good their team is, but I hope we can beat them. And we're going to come very harsh at them on Twitter this week, and we're hopefully going to get a lot of students there. And the war has officially begun, so hopefully you guys join us on Twitter in going at them, and it should be a lot of fun. Also, Monday, Stony Brook away, 6:30, 1 p.m., That's like a NCAA college basketball start time, like a tournament time, 6:30, 1 p.m.
Well, I bet they like that during like Thanksgiving weekend. It's probably some, like, I don't know. I feel like they're, I don't know. Maybe because they think everyone's home, everyone's hanging out during the day.
Maybe. Monday, November 22nd. So then they don't play for a week after that. And JIT.
I don't know why they would schedule the games during Thanksgiving week and then
give Wait. That was a mishap on my... I was looking at Sacred Heart's thing.
I was going to say, because they play 12-3.
They're playing Sacred Heart. Or they're playing Stony Brook. We're playing them Wednesday. Okay. We play them Wednesday at 2.
Yeah.
Sacred Heart did that weird scheduling, 6:31.
I thought you said 2 was the weird scheduling.
No. I was still looking at Sacred Heart's schedule, and they just so happened to be playing Stony Brook.
That's why I was saying.
And I knew,
like,
we were playing them next, too.
I was like, yeah, 2 o'clock. I mean, it's like kind of weird. It's not that weird.
Forget that. No, theirs was 6:31. That's why it was weird. All right, Wednesday, 2 p.m., Stony Brook. So that's like our show time. So I guess we'll have to – are we going to do an at-home show?
Are we do a live watch-along?
A live stream? No, I guess we'll do our show –
we'll do our show from home,
at home,
I guess, yeah.
Like Wednesday night or something. Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, we'll do it after the game, post-game.
Yeah, post-game show like we did during quarantine last year. But, yeah, the Sacred Heart game's on SNY, for those wondering. But hopefully you guys are there storming their – I don't even know what their court looks like. You look up, like, Sacred Heart basketball, the second picture that comes up is Alumni Hall,
Fairfield
University.
To be honest, I didn't even know they had a basketball team until, like, last year.
Yeah. Yeah. We're already starting.
Yeah.
Oh, I got stuff in the vault for them. Make sure you guys – check on Twitter all week. Drew just got here for our other show, and hopefully Drew keep locked on our Twitter too this week. We got a lot for Sacred Heart after that video they put out yesterday, so I'm excited. I hope you guys are excited. We haven't played them since we went here, I don't think, so it's our first time in this rivalry, and let's beat Sacred Heart and let's have a good happy show next week. Hopefully next week we start our show with 2 wins, very happy, right before Thanksgiving. And I think it's very, very possible. So, all right. That's been Red Sea Radio this week. We had a lot to talk about. Hope you enjoyed listening. And again, hope to see you all there on Saturday at Sacred Heart for the takeover of Sacred Heart rivalry game. And until next week, as always, go Stags.